Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Happy to welcome in Sal, and welcome back Sal. Actually, he's back at it. He had the extra point going today. I believe he was on the morning show, and now here he is on the afternoon show as well. So nothing like getting back from vacation, Sal, and being called during every single day part.
It's all good, man. I get a day off tomorrow again, so it's all good.
right, of course. How was the break, man?
Bulldog, I'll tell you, I don't know if you've ever been to Kennedy Space Center, but it was phenomenal. Just loved it.
Yeah.
Went straight from Nashville to Florida. The family was down there. They were hanging out on the West Coast, you know, with some family. I was in Nashville for the game. On Tuesday, they drove to Orlando. I flew to meet them there. We went to Legoland. We do Legoland every year if we can. Max loves it. And then I was only there for 2 days in Florida. And then we drove to Kennedy Space Center. And, you know, I'm not, like, I'm a geek for this kind of stuff, but not into the weeds geek, right? I'm not like, oh, my God, let me know what the Jet Propulsion Laboratory says about this. I'm just like, I can't believe this is literally the room where they were watching the Apollo landing, and it's totally preserved. Or, oh, my God, this is the Atlantis space shuttle, and I'm standing next to it.
Yeah, pretty cool. I would have maybe, if we went there, I would have been a little kid, and it probably has changed a lot.
Right.
Like, when I would have been there, the space shuttle didn't exist yet, right? I mean,
yeah.
How's that for a time frame for you, right?
Well, I didn't know, did they have a Kennedy Space Center, like, did they have that back then?
Because
yes. I don't know when it became a thing to visit, actually, you know what I mean?
I think so. I feel like I remember seeing brochures for it. Again, I can't be sure whether
okay.
we went or not, but I think it was an option mm-hmm. for, this would have been like the mid-70s I'm talking about for me. Well, with my family going down there, we went to Disney World. We went to Disney World sale before Epcot existed. Like, there were signs promoting
oh, wow.
the construction of the Epcot. Like, that, I'm old, okay? I mean, this is it. This is, like, you know, this is the life I've led. So, you know, there you are.
That's when he was going around buying, like, all the land when nobody knew, because he had fake companies and shell companies to buy the land so no one knew what was going on, so no one would kind of buy it, and then he'd have to kind of wrestle it away. And it's a very cool story. Story behind that.
No,
that's
yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Lake Buena Vista. That's when that happened. By the way, the other thing, so we came back because we had tickets for Dude Perfect on Saturday. We went on Saturday, and that's the trick shot guys, right? And like Max uh-huh. and he's just so into it. It was really cool, and yeah, it was really fun. So I had a good break and did a lot, actually.
Awesome. Well, I trust that you're up to speed on what happened in football over the weekend and
oh, yeah.
and yesterday. And Sal, I don't know. I mean, we'll get to the top of the conference because that's where our attention should be. That's where the Bills hope to get. You know, they're a half a game back with having the bye week, and they've got four teams at 5-2 ahead of them. As surprising as it may be to see the Bengals and the Raiders atop the conference, I think the bigger shock, I think it's shocking, not just surprising, to see the Chiefs at 3-4 and in 11th place in the conference.
Yeah, and a conference record of 1-4, right? I mean, we can basically write them off right now for the number one seed, unless they just completely run the table and everyone else kind of has losses maybe that are unexpected. I mean, you'd still have to find a couple more losses for a lot of teams, including the Bills. But yeah, I agree with you. You know, there was a trivia question that Jeremy and Howard had thrown out before the season, and I didn't realize this. I guess for the last 25 years or something like that, one of the final four teams from the previous year did yep. not make the playoffs the next year. Mm-hmm. And the question is, which team? And no one would have guessed Kansas City, but yet they're in the position right now that they could really miss the playoffs. Best case scenario is they're looking at a wild card. But I'll say this, Bulldog. If they get into a wild card, do you really want to be the 2, the 3, or the 4 seed hosting Kansas City in round 1? I mean, it just would still strike fear into you knowing you'd have to face Patrick Mahomes in the first round of the playoffs, even if it's at your place.
Yep, I 100% agree. Like, until I guess I'm until further notice, we're not there yet. I still would prefer to avoid them. You know, and
what's really
interesting?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's okay. What's really interesting to me about Kansas City is they seem like they have a flawed. They seem for everything good that they've done for the last few years, they seem like they have a flawed roster construction now, right? Which is they paid their incredible quarterback big money, and he deserves it. He's the highest paid quarterback in the league, and rightfully so for what he's done so far. They did draft a first-round running back a couple of years ago who just hasn't quite panned out to be a first-round talent as of now. But even then, you're wondering, okay, well, you know, help out. Yes, the running back's good, but it's a running back in the first round. You know, they really haven't – they poured a lot of money into the defense, but it doesn't seem like they've really hit on the players they've selected, the free agents, things like that. And now you look at their salary cap situation. I don't know how they're going to fix this over the next couple of years. I think what they've really banked on was, oh, we have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's a really good coach and we're organization stability and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You look over the next few years – yes, you have Patrick Mahomes. He's always going to be able to be someone who can kind of, you know, win games for you. But this is a flawed roster right now in the way they've constructed it, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, whether or not teams can copy what the Titans and Bills have done on defense to sort of, like, you know, settle them down. I mean, Tennessee just shut them down completely. The Bills did a great job holding them to 20 points. You know, we'll see if you know, other teams in the league can mimic that. I mean, you need to have the talent to do it, of course. And, you know, not everyone has what the Bills have on defense. I don't know about the Titans, really. And let's talk about them, Sal, because really we've been apart here for just about a week. And not to revisit the Titans game overall, but are they the easy answer to who's the biggest threat simply because they gave the Bills such a hard time and ultimately, you know, beat them last Monday?
I think so. I think for the Bills, they are. It's not a it's just a tough matchup for them. The Bills aren't really built that way. They're not built to be a team that's going to be stopping a team pounding it right at them who can also, you know, throw the ball a little bit, because they can. They can do that. They have really good players. They have very good skill position players. I think scoring 34 points, though, was a bit of a shock to me, you know, against the Bills' defense. They should have been better than that. They gave up a few big plays. But, yeah, I think they're the biggest threat. And the other part is, they're not in a really great division, right? They have Jacksonville in there. They have Houston in there, two of the worst teams in the league. I'm going to make a prediction, though. Might sound crazy. Said it this morning. I think they lose at Indy next week. I think they're coming off these two big wins. I think Indy is starting to get a little bit healthier. They know their backs are against the wall. They'll be home. You know, Wentz, as much as people made fun of him last night for that throw that actually was knocked out of his hands, like, he's actually stabilizing things a bit there over the last, you know, little while. So I think the Titans go to Indy and lose next week. And that may be, to answer your question, really just indicative of how I think they're still an inconsistent team overall.
Yeah. They have the Bills schedule, we all know, right, is easy. They have by remaining schedule, the easiest schedule left in the league. Tennessee has the third easiest. They do have this Indy game on the road you're mentioning. They've got the Rams right after that. They're at the Rams.
Yep.
After that.
That's a night game. That is a Sunday night game, by the way, at the Rams.
Oh, that Ram game? Great. Awesome. All right, good.
Yes.
After
yes.
that, it's the Saints. It's Houston. It's the Patriots. It's Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, San Francisco. I don't know what to make of them. Miami, Houston again. So Tennessee's set up there kind of similarly to the Bills, right? I mean, you could hold the Tampa game
right.
that the Bills have up as their version of the Ram game. And after that, it's pretty cake for both of those teams. So the question is, can the Bills avoid what's already happened to Tennessee, which is a loss that you just, if you want to be a contender for a top seed in the playoffs and a real threat to win the conference, like, you shouldn't lose to the Jets, right? Now, I might
That's right.
you know, I might wish I hadn't said that, because who knows, you know, the Bills could lose one of these games that it doesn't look like they should. But so far, the Bills have not they haven't had that, unless you consider Pittsburgh that slip up. And I you know, Pittsburgh I don't think is any kind of a threat in the conference, but they're also to me a much better opponent than the Jets. You know, so it's weird. Tennessee's had that, you know, that there, that one game, you know, the Chargers, the express train for the Chargers to the top of the conference took a hit last week when they got smoked by Baltimore. Baltimore just got smoked by Cincinnati. It's weird, Sal. Like, all these teams are beating up on one another, and it feels like the Bills are just kind of hanging out now, and, like, they don't really have to deal with any of it anymore. Of course, they already played the Chiefs and Titans, but.
Yeah, and I think the reason why this is happening around the league is one simple, I guess three simple words, National Football League, right? I mean, it's just, this is the way it goes in the NFL. You have 17 games now. You're going to have these games. They happen every year. They're happening a little bit more frequently. It's parity, whatever you want to call it. You don't. Every team can't be having their A game every week, and you have a couple bounces that go ways. I think what's surprising to me, though, is how some of these teams are getting handled in these games, right, which is like Cincy 41-17 over Baltimore. I've never been a believer in Baltimore's defense this year. They had a great game against the Chargers a couple weeks ago, but Bulldog, that's the fourth time they've given up at least 25 points and the third time they've given up at least 33 points in a game, the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I don't think their defense is really that great. Now, when Lamar's on and he's doing his thing, the other team has to press a little bit. Maybe they make some more mistakes. That helps them out a little bit. If you look at the Bills' next three games, though, and you're right, you can't. If you want to be a true championship team, they have to take care of business in the next 3 weeks, okay? Miami. Not maybe next four, but let's take the next three. Miami, Jacksonville, and the New York Jets. And if they do, they'll be 7-2 overall. They'll be 6-2 in the conference. They're going to be in a really good spot because you'd have to have all these other teams also win the next three games. Some of them are playing each other, by the way. I think we get to that game against the Colts, there's still a very strong possibility the Bills are back in the number one seed spot.
I love how that sounds. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Have you thought about the caliber of quarterbacks in the conference watching yesterday? Like seeing Burrow, like I don't want to like settle for it was like him announcing he's here and ready. You know, you're going to have to deal with him because he was excellent last year until he got hurt. But I feel like a lot of fans would have gotten their first real eyeful of Joe Burrow and the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase and go like, whoa, wait, what just happened? Like, Sal, we're at a point where just about, I mean, depending on how you want to cut off what is a franchise quarterback, you've got like half the conference is all set right now, it looks like, at quarterback. And if like two of the three guys in the AFC that got drafted this year happen to work out, amongst Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Like, what do you do when everybody in the conference has an excellent young quarterback? Like, we're not there yet, but, I feel like we're closer than we've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not the high – to particular high end because we know these guys went to the Hall of Fame, and maybe there's a little more depth now along, and they're younger, but you think about, you know, Marino, Elway, Esiason, Kelly – you know, these quarterbacks that were coming through the AFC around the same time as well back in the day, it reminds me of that a little bit. And you just knew you were in for it in a lot of these games. You get to the playoffs and, you know, these guys, they can win games on their own. It is amazing. I am a big, big Joe Burrow fan. I have been. I've been saying it for a few weeks, and every time I say that, someone says, well, I really like Herbert. Well, I do too. That's the thing about it, right? It's not like you have to pick one or the other. Like, these guys are really good. And you look around, the oldest quarterbacks in the conference, Bulldog, are Tannehill and Carr, right? I mean, come on. These guys, they're all young, and they're all – I mean, even Wentz. Like, Wentz is like an older guy now in the conference. You look at it that way. I may be missing somebody who I'm sorry, after Roethlisberger. Sorry about that,
Roethlisberger. Right, yeah.
But all these right. – yeah, but after all these – after Roethlisberger, it's all these young guys. It is amazing. It really is. And by the way, Deshaun Watson is still in the conference, and he may still be in the conference. If everything, you know, goes his way with the legal issues and he gets by all of that and he plays, who knows where that stands, because he is an incredible talent as well. Now, there's more reports today, as Joe's been saying. There could be – Carolina could be in the mix here. We don't know. But, oh, my gosh, it is truly amazing. I think, though, what – I really like Cincy and what they've done. Ja'Marr Chase is amazing. They've kind of been building this okay roster the last couple of years by these young guys, and then Ja'Marr Chase gets thrown in. I think what hurts them, though, is they're not particular. Their organization, it's not been known to be the most, you know, they've been known to be cheap at times, not to do things, to kind of cut corners. And if they hit on the quarterback and receiver, that's great. But are they buttoned up enough as an organization to make it sustainable for several years? You know what I mean?
Right. I think that's a valid concern, and one that anybody who's followed the league for any amount of time, I think, would have about that.
Right.
They're just not, you know, are they going to be able to mimic what the Bills have built here, right, with the stability and the organizational vision and all of that? Like, you're a long way from that. We'll see. But that was very impressive what they did yesterday. Yeah, Watson not only could still be in the conference, Al, I mean, I think if he gets his way, we'll see. Mm-hmm. He could end up in the division, right, because Miami has long been thought to be his most preferable outcome here, his preferred destination. We'll see if it comes to that. We haven't talked about it since, like, you know, with you being gone and the bye week and everything. All this urgency in the reporting that it's you know, heating up and something's going to happen. Man, I still can't imagine a team giving up the kind of assets you're talking about giving up for this player with so much uncertainty about his immediate future. Like, I understand wanting to get a player that's that talented, but wait until March after he goes through what he's got to go through with the legal stuff. You might be acquiring a player who not only can't play for you this year, if any of those 22 lawsuits don't go his way, he may not be available to play for you next year.
That's right. And the reporting this over the last 48 hours or so has been, even though he's not on the commissioner's exempt list right now, if he gets traded, he could very well be put on it right away. So you're trading for this guy. You can't even use them this year, most likely, if that's your plan. Like Carolina, right? Are they trying to dig out of a hole this year? I can't imagine Miami would think that he's going to fix them in 2021. That would be more for 2022. Then you have the fact of, okay, he's basically what we think, at least have been told, I will only waive my no-trade clause for Miami. Now, that's changing a little bit, but now you have teams that would have to say, okay, but we can recruit him. If we have permission to talk to him, we can convince him to come here. And then you get to the legal part. I think what has to happen here, Bulldog, and I think this is happening right now. If you're interested in Deshaun Watson, you have to go to the league, and you have to have some questions answered. Right? Yeah. I mean, you can't just sit there from the outside and doing your own, like, legal investigation. You need to go to the league and go to Roger Goodell and say, look, like, you need to tell us what you think is going to happen and how this plays out if A or B or C happens here, because we're going to make this investment to try and bring this guy into our organization. So you're right. I agree with you. I don't think you can do it without knowing those things and going to the league and getting answers.
Yeah, and the league might be able to. Whether they'd want to tell you or would tell you, it might be a different thing. But they certainly can control whether or not they put him on the commissioner's exempt list right now. Like, if Miami trades for him tonight,
right?
They might, Miami might know, might. I only say might because, you know, the league doesn't have to tell them, I don't think, but they could. It's like, hey, you know what, heads up, you're going to trade for this guy. Just know, as soon as he changes rosters, we're going to put him on the exempt list. Or we're not going to do that. We'll wait. They may know about that. What they can't know, the league can't know how the legal thing is going to play out. They certainly have more information than we have, but they can't know how that investigation is going to ultimately unfold. Again, they know more than the average person walking around or you or I having this conversation, but they can't know what is ultimately going to come of that. So that's why I just haven't really been able to get anywhere myself. I mean, I listen. Back in April, I thought for sure Aaron Rodgers was going to be traded, and he didn't get traded. Now I'm sitting here, and everyone's talking about how Deshaun Watson's going to get traded. It's imminent. It's going to happen. There's a lot of conversation, and I just can't fathom it happening. I wouldn't want to give up all that stuff with so much uncertainty that really the league can only assure you of so much at this point.
I agree. I mean, you're right. How do you know that? And let's just say you're Miami, for example. So Miami doesn't even have their own first-round pick next year, which would be number 2 overall, right? They have San Francisco's, which is 10th overall currently. They would have to give up what has been reported is 6 pieces. Even if it's not, let's say it's 4. You're giving up multiple first-rounders. They do have a couple, by the way, in a couple years from now. But how are you helping your quarterback when your roster is not that talented anyway, and he starts making $35 million next year, and you don't know what the legal situation is. I mean, you talk about the most desperate of desperation attempts to do that, and you could really be screwing yourself for a long time here if you do that.
Yeah, man. That's absolutely where I'm at, but, you know, I guess we'll see. We got a week to go here, right? The trade deadline is next Monday. So, you know, none of what I'm saying is to say that he definitely isn't getting traded. I just can't see it. That doesn't mean it won't happen. So it certainly will be interesting to follow that as this week unfolds and we get to next Monday when the deadline hits. All right, Sal, excellent. Enjoy. Listen, you poured a lot into today. And take tomorrow.
Well, it doesn't end. We're going to the Sabres game tonight. So.
Oh, all right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Look at you. Yeah. Bro. All right. Well, good. Enjoy that. All right. And thanks for this, and we'll hook up later in the week, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Lines are open if you want to get in between now and the top of the hour when we shift our focus to Sabres Lightning pregame tonight. Sabres play Tampa tonight a little after 7 is puck drop. But lines are open now. You want to talk about the top of the conference, Deshaun Watson's tradability, anything that Sal and I just poured over for the last 20 minutes or so is certainly fair game at 803-0550. Mike Schoep has the day off today. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.
Music is a big part of my life. It's a big part of setting the mood and the tone, you know, for what I need. Sometimes I need jazz to calm me down, or blues, or I need something to pick me up. So today I was listening to Tupac, you know, Picture Me Rolling, and I was listening to Slim Thug.
There's Dusty Baker, manager of the AL champion Houston Astros. World Series gets rolling tomorrow is game one, Braves and Astros. All right. I feel like if Mike were here, he'd ask me like how upset I was about the Red Sox losing.
I think that's the question to ask.
In the ALCS, what's that?
I think that's the main question to ask here.
Yeah, don't care. Don't care as strong. Would I rather they were still playing instead of Houston? Sure. But that came and went Friday night, and I never even – I mean, my night – I went to Canada Friday. I think Mike mentioned it, that was what was happening, why I was off on Friday. We hadn't been up there in almost 2 years. And, we Leo and I, my wife was out of town. Leo and I got tested and we, you know, jumped through all the hoops and did all the stuff we had to do. It was relatively easy, I will tell you, like to do everything. Like it all just happened the way you'd want it to happen as far as getting the results and filling out the paperwork ahead of time online to go to Canada. And the border crossing was as easy as it's ever been. So it went fine, but we got up there and I just never once thought, ooh, I got to get somewhere where I can see this baseball game. I just didn't even, it just never even crossed my mind really until Saturday morning. I went, oh yeah, I wonder how that went. Oh yeah. Okay. And that was it. So I did not sit with it. I didn't stew about it. I didn't think about it really at all. I just had, it was a big deal going up there. It was emotional. It was weird, Joe. Like, I loved every second of being there, and I never felt like, you know, for folks who don't know, my in-laws owned a house up there in Ridgeway near Crystal Beach for a long, long, many, many years. I mean, as long as I've known them and known my wife, they had this house, and my wife and I had kind of taken it over over the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, I guess. And obviously, with the border shut down, and then ultimately they decided to sell the house, so we don't have it anymore. We stayed at the house next door, which has been vacant for 2 years as well. I felt emotional driving over there Friday afternoon and coming back yesterday morning. While I was there, I just loved every second of being there. We got to see our old buddy John Gale. It was tremendous. But, like, the Red Sox just didn't even enter into my thought process going over there. I just never thought about them once until Saturday morning, like I said. So, you know.
So not only was the game not even on, you weren't even, like, checking the score on your phone or anything.
No. No. I was, you know, I had other stuff going on.
I was going to say, like, that maybe if you had been doing something else, maybe you would have gotten there, but
yeah,
it's completely understandable.
If we had made a decision to go, here's what really happened, is Owen's team, the New Mexico Ice Wolves, were playing at 9:30 Friday night. So we had a pretty late dinner, and, like, that was what we were going to find a way to watch, and we had to go to my friend's house to do that because I didn't have Wi-Fi at the house I was at. If he hadn't been playing Friday night, like if he would have played, say, Saturday night instead of Friday night, we might have gone out for dinner, and then the ball game would have been on, and I would have been all paying attention to it. But it just never crossed my face at all Friday. I just never thought about it one time.
Would that have changed if it was the World Series instead of the ALCS?
Probably not, given the circumstances. Okay. I'll bet it would not have. It just, you know, the visit and, you know, my kid's game was always going to take precedence over any of that other stuff. So, you know, whatever. Easy come, easy go. I mean, before the season began back in March or April, we were talking, and I didn't even think the Red Sox looked like a team that was built to be trying to win, let alone make it to the ALCS and ultimately fall short of making the World Series. So it all felt like a bonus to me anyway. So I'm all good over here. But, you know, good luck to Dusty Baker, I guess. I don't know. Go Braves? I don't even know. I don't know that I've ever cared less about who wins the World Series
than
I do right
neither.
Now.
It's just like Atlanta, sports town that just never seems to care about things, and the Astros who cheat or did.
Right.
So – yeah, yep. I probably won't watch a second of it.
I guess I could get to Atlanta because they lost Acuña, and he's one of the best young players in the game, and that they're still where they are without him is something I could get behind, I suppose. So go Braves? I don't know. Whatever. How are you feeling about all this Deshaun Watson stuff? Sal and I got into it at the end there, and I know the three of us, when Mike is here, we have talked about it extensively. But I feel like I'm always saying the same thing about it, which I just can't get my head around a trade happening. And I got to admit, as much as the three of us have spent time talking about it, I'm not exactly sure how you feel about what you think is going to happen here with Watson.
I think it's going to go – I guess I don't give the league enough credit and I think that's deserved, that I don't think – I think he can get back on the field. Like, I thought about even spitting this out like a week or two ago when you guys were talking about this, that, like, I would bet that he plays again this season, like, on an NFL football field. But I didn't feel that strongly about it, so I didn't say anything. And I think still, I don't feel strongly enough to ever do anything, like, to bet it. But I think it's very possible. I guess the reporting lately, though, kind of points you in the direction of they would put him on the commissioner's exempt list. They would suspend him for the personal conduct policy. I was always assuming that wouldn't happen because why wouldn't you have done that at the beginning of the year? Because from what I've understood, he's not playing because he does not want to play for the Houston Texans. Now, maybe if he did want to play for the Houston Texans, the Texans would still not play him. So it could be a two-way street here. But that's how I've always looked at it. And if he were to be traded, well, wouldn't he even have, like, a legal standing against the league that they're only changing their mind now because I've changed my mind on where I'm playing, which led me to believe they wouldn't be able to act on it. But now I think where Miami is, where Carolina are, they, I think, have answers on who their quarterbacks are. I don't think either team should feel all that confident they have franchise guys, that I can see them doing it. I can see owners getting in their heads that look around the league, like Tyreek Hill is just in the league. Kareem Hunt is just in the league. Michael Vick for a long time was just in the league, all after doing grotesque things off the field that maybe should have eliminated them from ever playing in the sport again. But they're just here, and we just kind of go on with our day and don't really think about it. Joe Mixon's another one for Cincinnati for this. And I could see Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, or David Tepper, the Panthers owner, just thinking to themselves, like, I'll trade for this guy. I will deal with the original blowback, which will be completely deserved, and maybe, like, it should be incredibly strong that they'll get blowback on it, of course. But 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now, we're just going to have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And to me, that way of thinking, I think there's got to be an owner or two in the league that will think that way, and they'll just do it. Because at the end of the day, it sucks, but I think those teams in the league care about money. And that guy, when he's on the field for you, will make you money.
You're 100%, in my opinion anyway, and this won't shock you, and I hope not much of our audience, justified in being skeptical about, you know, the league and its moral standing and right. how they mete out this stuff. I mean, of course. I think purely from a transactional standpoint, giving up whatever, whether it's, you know, it's a little like the situation. I mean, for different, obviously very different reasons, but we want this many pieces. Well, what about this many pieces? Well, the injury, the lawsuits, like, it mitigates what the return is, but the return is still going to be considerable, right? Even if it's down from, you know, 3 ones and 3 twos to 2 ones and 2 twos or 3 ones and 2 twos, whatever it is, it's a lot of stuff. And, you know, the blowback point, I think you make, you make the right point the right way there. Like, we'll just deal with it. Like I've said a few times, I can't imagine the news conference. And one day last week, I think Mike said, they don't even have to have that. I mean, you just acquire this player. You don't have to have the thing with the dais and him holding the jersey and all that stuff. Like, okay, that's right. I mean, it does look like you're guilty by not doing that, but all right. But transactionally, from an asset management standpoint, you give up whatever you got to give up. And I think it might be correct, like we were talking with Sal earlier, that Miami or Carolina or whomever could have some assurance that the commissioner's exempt thing is or isn't going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
But what about after he gets deposed and after the criminal investigation runs its course and the civil litigation and all the stuff? There's no one in the league that can tell you for sure how that's going to come out. I don't think. I mean, they know more than us, of course. But I don't think you can determine at this point how that's going to turn out for you. So even if you got him this year and they don't put him on the exempt list and you go to the 1-6 Miami Dolphins and they give up whatever they got, whatever bushel full of crap they got to give up to get him, and he plays this year and already what is a lost year, but next winter he gets suspended. I mean, where are you?
Well,
you are nowhere.
That's why I wonder if it wasn't the exempt list. Like maybe they would know this. Maybe Stephen Ross or David Tepper would know this. That, because this has been tossed out there too, he could just be suspended by the personal conduct policy. And that would be before really any litigation happens, any of really the civil complaint or the criminal complaints really go through the legal process. But to me, if I hear that I'm going to trade for him and then he's getting suspended, well, doesn't that mean he can't be suspended for the same thing twice? Not saying that he shouldn't, because I really think if he gets suspended tomorrow and then in the spring we find out all of these new details and like he is indicted or like it starts to get even worse, you should be able to act on that again. But again, if you're looking at precedent, maybe this is different because this is legal proceeding versus a video, but Ray Rice was suspended by the NFL for what he did. Then the video came out. He got suspended again, and Ray Rice and the PA and his agent got that second suspension thrown out. We don't remember that because no one signed him, but he got the second suspension or the extended suspension thrown out. And I wonder if that would happen, if the Dolphins would know he gets suspended tomorrow if we trade for him. That's it.
Like, that means he's back next year.
That means he's back next year. That means he basically serves his suspension now. And that might, again, it's gross, but that would make him a more appealing trade asset.
For sure. Because you'd rather give up this year if you're Miami at 1-6 making this trade.
Oh, right. You're not trading for him this year at all. You don't even care.
Right.
You might not even play him if you trade for him.
Right. Well, which sort of gets me back to, like, I understand all the urgency and the level of player he is if everything else is okay, but there's so much uncertainty with all that. Why make the trade now? Why don't you wait until next this coming draft season? The legal stuff is supposed to begin in earnest in February for him, and maybe you have some more certainty about how that's going to go, and you haven't paid all this stuff for him. And, you know, I just I want to raise my hand and just say my prediction is that that's what happens. As much as there's this feverish reporting about it's getting hot, something's going to happen, I still think when it gets right down to it, some team is not going to pay that price given the uncertainty, and that they'll wait until March or April.
Well, and think about
what I am guessing.
Who's putting Carolina out there in the media right now? Like, to me, if Watson really wants to go to Miami, then if I'm the Texans, I'm probably using the Panthers to get Miami to up the price. Because if I'm the Dolphins, I might have thought this whole time that he wants to be here and we're willing to do it. We're going to wait until after the fact. But if the Texans want to get this done now, which I guess I don't really see why they would need to do it either. But if they wanted to get this done now, then they'd be throwing the Panthers in the mix. That they're coming hot for him right now. Like they're giving us first round picks and second round picks, and you're gonna have to match that because you want to wait till the spring. He might not be there for you. And the other argument would be there's more players in the market, but that one to me might be harder to swallow as something that's realistic, because he does have that no trade clause, and I think the teams that are in it now, like Carolina and Miami, like, I think that's probably going to be it. It's out there he doesn't want to go to Denver. It's out there he doesn't want to go to Philadelphia. I guess someone else could emerge that isn't in it right now. But if I'm the Dolphins, I should think I can wait till the spring.
Right. That's where I'm at. I mean, you know, I know you would like to get it done so you have certainty about it, but the whole thing is predicated on uncertainty. Right, like his being of value to you is uncertain, and so I don't know. I just don't. It's never logically made sense. You're just stacking up uncertainties and paying a steep price to acquire them, and I don't know. That doesn't seem smart to me. We'll see how it all goes. I mean, I love that it's happening the way it's happening, but I just can't imagine, that it crosses the finish line here before next week, but we'll see. We are way late. Holy cow. All right, I'll take a timeout here. And we got Sabres pregame coming up in about 15 minutes, so stay tuned for that. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is off today, along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR. Happy to have you all with us here on a Monday. Bummed out that Mike isn't around, but hopefully he'll be feeling better and back with us again tomorrow. I am the Bulldog. Sabres and Lightning go tonight, and then it's out west for the Sabres. Their next game after tonight is in Anaheim against the Ducks. There was some reporting late in the week about Jack Eichel making one last stand with the medical opinions that he was collecting. It was Emily Kaplan with ESPN who was reporting that he's been like feverishly collecting doctors' opinions in an effort to sway the Sabres to allow him to get the surgery that he wants to get, because clearly the clock is ticking on his season here. If he doesn't get something done soon, even the faster timeline surgery, which is the disc replacement, which is what Eichel has wanted all along, is still going to get hard for him to make it back and contribute at all this season. So, nothing more that we've heard since then, but that was late in the week that started percolating, that was something that was happening. I don't know if we should expect any kind of an update from the Sabres on that. At this point, I sort of feel like the next time we hear something about Jack Eichel from them, it will be when they have finally made a trade, but doesn't appear as though there's anything imminent. We'll see if we get any more new information on that, or how his attempt to sway them one final time with medical opinions from many doctors went, if it had any impact at all on the situation. But for now, still status quo. The Sabres started the season with 3 straight wins. They've since dropped a couple of games in a row, one of them in overtime on Saturday night, but they get back to it tonight at home at KeyBank Center against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that is where our attention will be focused right after this. We'll get Paul Hamilton back in. You'll hear from Sabre head coach Don Granato, as well as a couple of players, as we move you toward puck drop for the Sabres and the Lightning tonight. I am the Bulldog, along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.